Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 4th of May, recording at 7:33 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first here are the highlights. This global stock market rally has not only continued, but I was going to say picked up a bit of steam. Well, that's true on Wall Street, and therefore that's likely to spill over into Asia tomorrow and also Europe if these current gains are held through the close. Elsewhere, some drama in bond markets over the 30-year, the US announcement that it was probably going to reissue 30-year government bonds. More about that later. And the precious metals are firmer in here today. Along with a somewhat softer US dollar. Okay, let's go back to the stock markets first, in which we're all extremely interested. This rally is now a little better than the minimal sort of dead cat bounce type of rebound that we had last month, or in the mid part of last month. So it's broken the short-term downward momentum. Now, you remember I've been saying that markets were sort of deeply oversold, and that we would require a move that was somewhat bigger than what we had seen around the middle of last month to indicate that we were going to get a better technical rally. Well, we've certainly got that evidence. And some market indices, particularly some of the emerging market indices, Brazil's a classic example, became really quite overextended following nearly 2 months of persistent selling pressure. And therefore, they can certainly see some additional rally, which I think is mainly in the sort of overall top formation extension phase. Well, why is this further rally actually taking place? And again, we have that background of short-term oversold conditions, but it needs a catalyst. And I think what has helped really was last night's Fed comment, partly anticipated, that long-term and the long-term inflation outlook remains moderate. To me, I think that's mainly spin. I call me cynical, but I maintain that the Fed doesn't believe its own inflation data, but it does not want to, at this stage, talk government bond yields up, bond prices down, in other words, or cause the stock market to plunge. So I think we're getting, as I say, a little bit of political spin here because the Fed is keen, I think, to be able to nudge short-term interest rates up a little bit higher, rearming the interest rate gun, as I've long been saying, and then as have others. And it wants to stave off a recession. Now, plunging stock markets, soaring government bond yields would be, of course, be the worst thing just about that could happen to the economy in the short term. So I think that's helped. I also think that oil falling back to below $50 a barrel, it's crude NYME, it's pushed back up, but it's only at 50.15 here today. That has also helped a bit. And it must be said, there's still plenty of bulls around and a reasonable amount of liquidity sloshing around the system, although that does seem to have contracted somewhat in recent months. So those are the ingredients. Now, my feeling is that it's not going to produce more of a top extension rally, but tactically it does mean that my additional stock market short positions last week would have been better deferred to this week or next week. And I may add a bit more because I'm not heavily short overall. In the meantime, though, some of the in-the-money stops on my earlier short positions are certainly likely to come under further pressure here this week, and some of those may be taken out. If they are taken out, I just hope the rally carries on a little bit further, allowing me to reissue them at a slightly at a somewhat better level. I think this is just a top extension rally because we still are in this cycle of higher in short-term interest rates. Okay, albeit there's been a bit of a reassessment and reassessment, and where some analysts were forecasting as much as 5% by the mid part of next year, for the federal funds rate. Now people are saying, well, maybe we're only going to see 3.25 or 3.5%. So again, that's helped the current technical rally in response to that deep short-term oversold condition. Now, from my position, I would be quite happy to see the markets, stock markets, push up higher and to allow me to reduce some of my long exposure. I do maintain the first 2 years of a U.S. presidential cycle. Well, historically, those are the worst performing years for stock markets, and we're still not over this cycle of rising interest rates. That creates lots of headwinds. I favor a fair amount of cash. I do have a fair amount of cash, but I've got more equity exposure than I had originally intended were we to see a period of several months where stock markets were in retreat. Now, there's some positions that I almost certainly wouldn't sell. One would be my position in that Investec Global Energy Fund that I've mentioned on so many occasions. Anybody can find that, of course, on the by using the search engine, find details of that. And I might not sell some core mining positions. But would I lighten in, for instance, Asian emerging markets on a top testing rally? Sure. Even things that I really do like very much for the long term, such as that JP Morgan Fleming India Trust and that, JP Morgan Fleming India Trust and the Aberdeen Utah Fund as well. Again, that's going to all be found in the search engine if any new subscribers wanted to review those positions. Okay. So, as I say, I would be quite happy to lighten those on top testing rallies. I don't feel under any pressure to chuck those positions out, and I haven't all along. Now, the only thing I feel that would make me look really wrong would be if stock markets marched back up to their highs and just pushed through them and continued on upwards. As some forecast, I think that's really a long shot. I don't expect that, but as I mean, anything's possible in markets, and I'm not hedging my bets on that, but I've bet against that actually happening, in fact. So were we to see top testing rallies, as I say, I would lighten some longs given the opportunity in the sectors that I've just mentioned, and I would almost certainly increase my short positions, putting me heavily net short, all subject to the technical action, of course, which fortunately I can monitor on a daily basis. Now, if the rally were to be cut very short for whatever reason, say later on this week, and to head back down again, given a clear dynamic, I'd probably add a few more short positions and resign myself to the fact that my remaining longs were just hedged, albeit asymmetrically, and by that, of course, I mean that I wasn't hedging like with like, but I would be hedging the positions I'd mentioned earlier with U.S. and European stock market index futures. Okay, moving on to the long-dated government bonds, the interesting development was the announcement by the Treasury that it was considering reissuing 30-year bonds, something that the Treasury had been denying rather emphatically until very recently. Now, that caused the 30-year bond to plunge initially. It was up to give you an idea, it fell nearly 2 points on the June contract. It was up at 115.13, plunged in a now you see it, now you don't decline to 113.14, and then has come back up. It's still down on the day, but only three or four ticks at 114.20. Four. And the reason for that, I believe, is that when people continued to assess this statement, they realized that the next announcement, well, the announcement of sales or not, and I think it's inevitable that they will sell more of the 30-year bonds. Why not? If you can get if you can borrow long at a time when you believe that long-term interest rates are about as low as they can get. So I don't regard this as a bullish signal at all for the bond market, although it's a bullish signal for those who trade in bonds, because it'll create more liquidity in those long-dated instruments. And they will be, of course, dealing with those newly issued funds. But the fact, though, that we are almost inevitably going to see more 30-year government bonds means that the premium that they have shown over the 10-year bond, being considered previously a bit of a scarcity item, is likely to, that premium will narrow. They will not be a scarcity item. But as I say, they rallied back here today almost to unchanged on the day, currently trading at 114.24 on that June contract. That's down three ticks. They rallied back because people realized that the first possible date for any further issuance in this 30-year contract would come in August, and almost certainly it would come in the autumn, but just be announced in August. Okay, moving on to the currencies here. We still have a range-bound dollar, but it has fallen in here today after several days of rally, and that has led to steadier performances in the precious metals. Not a big deal in gold, 429.40 as I speak. Silver had the better bounce, 702 and a half. That's up 14.2 cents, and signals a potential downside failure within its trading range on silver. Now, silver is basically in a sideways pattern, so one doesn't read too much into failed breakouts in either direction, but they become the norm rather than the exception, and they're not as significant as when you have a consistent trend and then suddenly you get a failed breakout and a reversal into the previous pattern. That's much more emotive. But silver had been lagging in here. I think I mentioned that earlier in the week, and it's catching up a bit now. Platinum also, 875.1, that's up 5.2. I'd be quite happy to lighten my platinum a bit on another top testing rally. I'm less hopeful of an upside breakout anytime soon, but that said, the lows keep rising. So we'll see. I'm overall, though, I would not mind reducing a little bit more in this sector, as I have done recently. My biggest position, of course, is in the silver, and I'll continue to trade that on a baby steps basis. I bought a little bit more, as you know, while it was weak, and I certainly have sell orders overhead in this market. And what else can I mention to you? Industrial metals, they are a bit softer in here today, although copper in the U.S. is well off the lows, still down 125 on the day. That's the July copper trading at 143.10, had been down at 140.90. So those industrial metals are still quite nervous. Overall, I think it will not have escaped you if you're in the markets that conditions are nervous. That's because hedge funds and most of the rest of us are not quite sure which way to jump. Now, that's a frustrating environment for pretty well all of us, and especially new subscribers. And what, of course, everybody likes, not least me, is an environment where one can say, look, here are these very clear, orderly, trending markets in which we can participate, markets that are pregnant with potential. That's a term I used early last autumn when stock markets were resuming their advance off the August reaction lows. And fortunately, that proved to be a correct assessment. This is an environment that I would describe as pregnant with risk. And I'll use a cricket analogy, which will baffle perhaps many subscribers who are not from the UK, Australia, India, and the other cricket obsessed nations. But as anyone batting in cricket will know, there are times when you really conditions are such that you can hit powerful strokes all over the place, running up a very big score relatively easily. And there are other times when you've got to be extremely careful and defensive because you're going to make a mistake and be out more likely than not if you're not extremely careful. Well, this is one of the latter cases here. These go in cycles. You get nervous on certain conditions, and markets become very jumpy and twitchy and tend to predominantly range or get sort of sharp moves, short-term moves in both directions. It's a dangerous environment, as I've said on a number of occasions. And eventually that gives way to another clear trending phase overall. So we have to keep a fair amount of powder dry. I wouldn't mind keeping a bit more powder dry in myself in these sort of choppy environments. But as I say, it's frustrating because we're all looking around saying, okay, where's a really clear-cut money-making opportunity? And I suspect one of the better opportunities will be stock markets on the downside, if not immediately, certainly over the medium term. But again, it's tricky in here right now, and that comes with the territory. Okay, all the best to all of you.